Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Whether you work for industry or government, we're here to help you understand just a little more about how the other side thinks. Join us at the Government Contract Pricing Summit this June 20th to 22nd in beautiful San Diego. The Government Contract Pricing Summit builds understanding and trust between industry and government pricers.
And building that trust is one of the key missions of the Contracting Officer Podcast. And don't forget, you can earn up to 20 continuing education credits for attending the GCP Summit. As a bonus, Contracting Officer Podcast listeners get a promo code to save an additional $200 off registration.
Registration closes on June 1st, and seats are limited. So head to gcpsummit.com/podcast to get your discount code. The GCP Summit is hosted by EBS, the makers of ProPricer. We'll see you there. Our topic for today is commercial off-the-shelf items, or COTS, and really, what's the difference between a commercial item and COTS? Let's get started.
When you were a contracting officer, did you buy a lot of commercial products and services?
Well, I thought I did. I mean, it seemed like it at the time. We were calling them commercial products, FAR Part 12, right? I bought business jets like 757s and Gulfstream 5s are called C-32s and C-37s. I bought C-130Js, military cargo jets, as commercial items under FAR Part 12. So that's commercial, right?
Danger seeker. There's a whole story in there that we won't even touch. But yeah, commercial jets, that's a big picture stuff, right? But it's not what most people think of when we say commercial items.
No, it doesn't sound real commercial. It sounds pretty custom.
Yeah, the commercial items that I was used to buying were more like services or products, right? And on top of the commercial item concept, which we defined in podcast episode 92, I think it was, the FAR simplifies it even more with this concept of commercial off the shelf, otherwise known as COTS.
COTS.
That's right. And that sounds really simple, right?
Well, apparently not. I'm guessing that a C-130 is not off the shelf.
It's a really big shelf. Okay. Anyway.
Really big shelf. That's good. So let's talk about the difference between a commercial item and COTS, the way the government defines it. So COTS is actually a type of commercial item, but a commercial item is not part of COTS. They kind of fit together like a square and a rectangle. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square. Does that make sense?
It does. It's a great analogy for it, because the idea here is that just because it's commercial doesn't mean it's COTS.
Okay, before we dig in, let's say thanks.
So this week, thanks to Nikki Williams for an iTunes review. It's called Excellent Government Contracting Content Delivered with Some Humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
That's a great title. And so the gist of what she's putting in here is that she appreciates that we're attempting to give a balanced perspective on why the market's so complicated and give both industry and government a voice. And she says, this is a must listen for everyone in the government contracting space.
I love it. Thanks, Nikki. All right, to describe commercial items, I think we need to do a little bit of a recap of FAR Part 12, which we talked about in yet another episode. FAR Part 12 prescribes the policies and procedures that are unique for acquiring commercial items. And FAR Part 12 actually creates a preference for the government to acquire commercial items by establishing acquisition policies that more closely resemble those of the commercial marketplace and therefore encourages the acquisition of commercial items. I think that many people in the commercial acquisition world would argue that the FAR Part 12 policies don't resemble the commercial marketplace's policies at all in any way.
Well, they're doing what they can, right? So right. The idea is to make it easier for government to buy commercial items.
Yeah, and not easy. Nothing's easy. Easier. Yeah,
nothing's easy. And to encourage and enable companies, right? That's the idea, who sell commercial items to work with the government. So that's the intent of FAR Part 12. It's kind of like, you know, you shoot for the stars and you might land on the moon along the way. Well, that's kind of how FAR Part 12 plays out.
Well, I guess I'll sell to the government. It's not as hard as it could be.
There you go. That's a great metric. It's not as hard as it could be.
So you use FAR Part 12 as a contracting officer in conjunction with the pre- and post-award rules that are set up in Part 13, Part 14, and 15, simplified acquisition procedures, sealed bids, and contracting by negotiation, which we talked about quite a bit. But FAR Part 12 kind of layers in with those and lets you get away with not doing a lot of what are in those parts.
The way that I like to describe this is that imagine that 13, 14, or 15, those parts of the FAR, that they have their own procedures, right? And so to speed up those procedures, they're think of them like each one of those is a different type of car. And then FAR Part 12 is the fuel for the car. It's like you're dumping nitrous oxide into these things to make them go faster. And so you're allowed to, because of FAR Part 12 being integrated into how you buy under contract by negotiation, you're going to get there faster. You're going to have some different steps. You're going to skip a few steps. You have fewer clauses, lots of things like that. So that's the idea, is that you overlay these and it's better fuel for your car. How's that for a random analogy?
It works, sort of. I will accept that, sir. So you've got all the rules in Part 13, 14, and 15 that tell you how to buy stuff. FAR Part 12 takes precedence over those rules. So you have to follow all the rules in other parts of the FAR, unless FAR Part 12 lets you get away without following those rules.
There you go.
We're a bit bogged down here in the FAR, but it's worth reading a little more. FAR Part 2101, I'm going to read this commercial item definition and the COTS definition so we can get down to exactly what the difference is according to the FAR. Commercial item means anything, including services, but not real property, that has been or has been offered to be sold, leased, or licensed to the general public, including items that evolve from a commercial item.
That's a little bit fuzzy.
True. Including items that have been or can be modified from a commercial item with minor modifications. I'm air quoting like crazy over here.
Yeah, because minor modifications is also very subjective.
Yeah, beyond fuzzy. And the last thing, commercial item also includes items of a type offered or sold commercially and competitively in large quantities. So if it meets any of those definitions, you may be able to weave your way through some of the fuzz and call it a commercial item.
And that's why there's a document called a commercial item determination, because you may have to actually justify why it's commercial.
Then there's COTS. Commercial off the shelf means anything, including construction material, that is a commercial item, as defined in paragraph one, like we just talked about, sold in substantial quantities in the commercial marketplace, and offered to the government, and this is the important part. I know that because it's in bold red font on the charts we're looking at.
It's not in bold red in the FAR. I did that, by the way.
Right. Offered to the government without modification in the same form in which it is sold in the commercial marketplace.
So in other words, it's literally like that off the shelf.
Is that, what's that banging? What's happening?
So Murphy's Law, right? So that the building next door is getting a roof put on. So that random sound you hear is they scheduled their roof repair. Actually, the whole thing's being replaced. They scheduled their roof replaced with you and I scheduling a podcast today. So,
all right, I will try to ignore the bang, bang, bang in the background.
So I can knock on the window and tell them to stop.
Yeah, that'll work. So where were we? Okay. COTS, commercial off the shelf. It off the shelf. You can pick it up off a shelf just like it is and buy it. So it's a commercial item. It's something that's out there for sale in the commercial marketplace, and the government can buy it without modifying it at all. You just grab one and walk to the register and pay for it, or get online and click a button and buy it. You don't have to negotiate.
And you can't negotiate. To call it COTS, it's without modification.
Right.
That's the key difference, is the commercial item, you can modify it to your needs and still call it commercial. COTS, it's what you see is what you get.
And since we're in the FAR, there's always an exception.
Exactly.
COTS does not include bulk cargo as defined in 46 USC, blah, 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 blah. What's bulk cargo?
Because I had to look it up in the US code, bulk cargo means cargo that is loaded and carried in bulk, no kidding, without mark or count, such as agricultural products and petroleum products.
Okay, then. I still don't know what bulk cargo means. Let's move on. Last thing before we're out of the FAR, and I promise, last thing, not really promise, I'm sure we're going to mention it again. All of the policies that apply to commercial items also apply to COTS items, except the stuff that the FAR says doesn't apply to COTS items, and we're going to get to that now. What does not apply to COTS? And this is FAR 12.505, applicability of certain laws to contracts for acquisition of COTS.
And remember, COTS are a subset of commercial items per the FAR, right? So commercial items are exempt from certain laws. We've just talked through that. Well, COTS are exempt from those plus a few more. And so one of them, and this is a big one, that's not applicable, and I'm going to read it here because it kind of carries a lot of weight. The component test of the Buy American statute is waived for an end product that is a COTS item.
And the reason that's huge is you don't have to trace back every part in it and prove that it's American made.
Yeah, if you're buying a COTS item, you don't have to show that the steel that this is manufactured out of was smelted in the United States, which under a lot of things you buy, particularly for the DOD, you do have to do that. And so this is, but you can't say that, can't make that same argument for commercial. You can only make that same argument for COTS.
Yeah, it would be next to impossible to do that for COTS. Like if you were buying computer monitors and you had to somehow find out what all the components are and then trace them back to see if they're all American made. Number one, most of those components aren't American made anywhere at all. So you'd never be able to find anything that qualified. Number two, that would be a huge burden for low dollar items, which the majority of low dollar purchases, I imagine, are COTS. There are off the shelf, just buying off the market.
Yeah, it kind of removes the advantage of using the market if you're going to all of a sudden say, hey, can you tell me where this steel was smelted?
The answer is no.
So if you're in the DOD, the defense world, DFARS, the Defense Federal Acquisition Supplement, there's FAR Part 25, which is for foreign acquisition. It is chock-a-block. It is a lawyer's dream. There are so many rabbit holes to go down in FAR Part 25 because it's where things are made and where they're used, etc. But if the term COTS is applied to what you're buying, it makes some of them, not all of them, but a good chunk of them, inapplicable.
And for the record, we are not lawyers. If you're going to deal with DFARS Part 25, please consult your lawyer.
Or just read the whole thing. It'll only take you about a month.
Ugh. Now we're on to time zone time. That's weird. Time zone time. We usually talk about what time zone we're in. This is in the acquisition time zones at the very beginning, in the requirement zone, the market research zone, and then the RFP zone. If you have a requirement and you do your market research and find out that there is a commercial off-the-shelf item that will satisfy your requirement, product or service, then you probably don't have to do too much of an RFP. In most cases, you can probably just buy it after documenting why you chose what you chose.
Or maybe an RFQ, or it would be a simplified acquisition procedure buy. It just, it changes your process and makes it, in a nutshell, shorter.
And shorter is really helpful. This is why COTS is separate. The government takes, I know you already know this, Kevin, the government can take quite a while to acquire the goods and services that it needs.
What?
Commercial items can go a little bit faster. COTS can go even faster. Commercial items is broad. COTS is not so broad. It's actually much easier to define than commercial item.
And the beauty of that is that think about what you're buying. The government clearly knows what they need. You need a monitor that's this big, that weighs this much. That's a commercial item. That's COTS.
Yeah. Probably won't even say that have a weight restriction.
It's probably
I need a 12-inch monitor. 12.
That's true.
No, nobody makes a 12-inch monitor anymore. I need a 36-inch monitor.
A 3-foot one. Well, and you're right. It's like the fact that I mentioned weight shows my background. Because COTS doesn't care what the weight is, unless maybe it's a laptop. But even then, it's what's available. Commercial off-the-shelf means what's available.
If you need a 6-ounce monitor that is 36 inches across, you're probably not going to find one in the COTS world. You might be able to develop one on an R&D contract for $1 billion.
This is a rabbit hole I'm not going to go down, but this is when people talk about the government market being requirements-driven versus solutions-driven. Commercial market solutions-driven. They give you something and you go, yeah, that's what I need, and you buy it, okay? That's what COTS is. It's like the solution's out there. You just go buy it. Whereas a lot of the stuff that you and I talk about is it's requirements-driven. The government needs this. There's a whole zone for that, right? There's a whole zone of requirements. And when I was a contracting officer, I had a scenario where I thought something was COTS. I went into the dealership and looked at this item. It was a vehicle, and it was a commercially available vehicle. But then I said, hey, well, that's COTS. We can just buy it COTS. Well, then once we looked at the actual requirement and talked to the customer, and then the customer helped us build a draft RFP, and that draft RFP hit the street, and industry said, dude, that's not COTS. I'm like, but it's the same one that's in the dealership. No, it's not. It's got different shocks. It's got different tires. So communication. Thank God.
The customer said, I know you can buy one of these right from the dealership, but is there any way that we could pay twice as much for one that's very similar?
That's custom made. Yeah. So that's it smelled like COTS, but it wasn't. So,
but it was still a commercial item.
Correct. And that's the key factor here is communicating early. And we think this is COTS. And you'll get feedback from industry, which then you can then show to your user, to the customer who's going to use it and go, yeah, we can't live with COTS. We can live with commercial, but we can't live with COTS. And so be careful you understand and your customer understands the difference. Because I've seen the term COTS thrown around in an RFP and I'm looking at this going, that's not COTS. But I only know that because I've screwed it up.
So COTS is actually pretty liberating. And you're going to end up with some different companies if you're buying commercial off the shelf. I mean, think about it. If you need to buy what we call an SUV, a sport utility vehicle, there's choices out there that you can buy off the shelf. If you wanted to do some extra magic stuff, can you imagine if you had to pay someone and write a requirement to build an SUV that was just a little bit different than what was available commercially, but they had to do that from scratch, or they had to buy one that exists and modify it to meet your needs? Much easier to just buy what's already available. COTS actually relies on and exploits the competition that is inherent in the commercial world.
And especially if it's COTS. I mean, the commercial acquisition process exploits competition before the RFP comes out, right? Well, COTS does that as another layer of competition because this is a standard product that's already been exposed to the market. This is what people are willing to pay for.
Yeah, it's already been competed. All of the bad ones and too expensive ones and too cheap ones have already been weeded out, right?
That's right. What do you call that? The invisible hand of the market or whatever?
Okay, Adam Smith.
Now, here's the downside if you're on the government side is you're competing with the whole market for their attention, right? So if you're buying something that's truly COTS, you're one of, let's just throw out a number, you're one of 1,000 customers. Even if you're one of 100 customers, if you're the only government customer.
Yeah. If they even know you're buying it. I mean, think about the computer monitor thing. The manufacturer, you're probably not even buying it from the manufacturer. You're probably buying it from the reseller in the marketplace. You may be buying it from Walmart or you may be buying it online. The manufacturer might not even know that they're selling it to you unless you buy, 10,000 of them, in which case you'll get their attention. But not so much because there's lots of big companies out there in the actual commercial world that buy in huge quantities as well. I want to point out one more time, the types of companies that build and sell COTS products or provide COTS services are not usually the government contractors. Again, think about automobiles. Ford and General Motors make vehicles. They sell COTS vehicles to the government. But for government-specific kind of vehicles, like maybe tanks or armored personnel carriers, you don't see Ford and GM in those markets as the primary contractor. They may have a part of the business, but that custom stuff, it's not really of interest to them. Unless the government is buying a massive quantity of something, it's really a distraction to a commercial company to build a small quantity of something custom to meet the government requirements, and they may not want to touch it.
Yeah, because they're not prepared for it. They're not tooled for it. They don't know how to solve small customer problems.
Yeah, it's not profitable. They have a line that chugs these things out. Why would they make a few that are different unless they can make a whole lot of money off it? Remember, since we're talking commercial, the government can only buy on a firm fixed price basis. How much is it? I'll take one.
Here's the price. Take it or leave it. And of course, before we get too excited, there's still the 80-20 rule. There's still the 80% process, 20% relationship. Even if it's 60% process, 40% relationship, there's still a process behind this. And that process, fortunately, mostly fits inside FAR Part 12.
Yeah, there are ways to make your COTS products more available and apparent to the government buyers. There's still some process involved in there. They might not just find you.
Yeah, they're very unlikely to just find you, honestly.
Okay, but let's not get into how to do that in this.
That's a whole marketing exercise. We'll talk about some other time.
Okay, wrap it up then.
So the big takeaway for me on the government side is it commercial or is it COTS? And when you're putting the requirement together, when you're building the market strategy, ask industry. Put out an RFI, put up a smoke puff. that says, is this commercial or COTS? Could I buy this off the shelf? Because I wish I had done that more. And the times that I did it, I was surprised that something, oh, you know what? Yes, they can make it customized from the commercial item they have. So it's a little bit off of COTS, or the COTS solution the customer can live with. Just by having that conversation, we figured that out. Because I guessed wrong more than once, and it just took longer, and we ended up modifying the crap out of a vehicle or an item that we shouldn't have had to. On the industry side, it's the same thing. Know the difference between commercial and COTS, and make sure the government RFP, the person putting out that requirement, that whatever we're talking about, make sure that you understand the difference, and make sure that the seller, i.e. in this case the government, knows the difference. Because if you think it's one and you think it's COTS, you don't have to trace back where the fibers of the material came from. And all of a sudden they say, oh, no, this is a commercial item. It still has some parts of FAR Part 25 that apply to it. You just bought yourself a whole lot of headache. And the last thing, which I didn't think we mentioned, is that the COTS specifically applies to items of supply. I couldn't find in FAR Part 12 where it talks about COTS applying to services, because if you think about it, it off the shelf means a physical thing. But the way that COTS is defined, it says item or supply.
That's good. I think I said services many times throughout the podcast, so that's a great clarification.
Well, and the fun part is that commercial services, no problem. You absolutely do that all day long. COTS doesn't apply to services. If you think about it, it doesn't really make
sense.
Hard
to take a service off the shelf.
Don't get me started. Unless it's software as a service, but rabbit hole, walk away.
All right, let's stop then. I'll talk to you later.
Right, see you, Paul.
Okay, that's it for this episode. Don't forget, we want to know what you think. Give us your feedback. You can email me at paul@contractingofficerpodcast.com, or you can schedule a time to talk to Kevin at askskyway.com. Thanks for joining us.